Acts chapter 4, we'll read verses 29 through 31. Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. I'll read verses 29 and 30. You join me on verse 31. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." And let's pray. Father, again, we do need you tonight. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would anoint these next, 35 minutes. We'll be on our way home soon, but may the truth we take with us, and may not just our lives be affected. May eternity be affected by what's done tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Peter and John, here in Acts chapter 4, have been used in a great revival since Pentecost. You have to understand, Acts chapter 2 was the day of Pentecost. We read Acts chapter 4, which is just a brief time later. It could be days, probably you're talking weeks or at most months after Pentecost. The Bible says in the beginning of Acts chapter 4, we won't take time to read it, but I believe it's around verse number 4 or 5 verse area, that over 5,000 men had gotten saved through the preaching of Peter and John. This is after Pentecost. Can I tell you, that's pretty good revival, amen? 5,000 men getting saved. Now, people are excited about the truth. People are getting saved. The church is growing. The Christians and things are intensifying. And the politicians are getting ticked off. If you read Acts chapter 4, you find out that the politicians are starting to get upset. Can I tell you why? Because people's lives were changing and the politicians were no longer the authority. God's word and the preachers and the church was becoming the authority. They were losing their influence. And they're upset with these Baptist preachers. They didn't like losing their influence and their power. By the way, politicians have too much power. We have granted politicians way too much power. And I'm not afraid to say this. By the way, the more you go up in business, the more you gain in power, the more potential for corruption there is. You quit relying on your power when you're not having much power, but the more power you get, be careful. Be careful. Politics hasn't changed in 2,000 years, just so you know. Here, they were against the Baptist preachers, and the politicians were worried about losing their power. The politicians were trying to muzzle these Baptist preachers, we read in Acts chapter 4. As a matter of fact, they were threatening them with laws, with ordinances, and with false interpretation of the laws. Sounds like Houston to me. If you have not read nor heard, in the city of Houston, the new mayor of Houston, who is a sodomite, and I'm choosing my words very carefully here, she has subpoenaed 5 pastors and 5 churches for all of their speeches and sermons against sodomy. And they have what they call a hero law there, and if they have mentioned her or sodomy, then she is going after them with a lawsuit to throw them in jail for indecency to the sodomites. Folks, the battle's not being fought, even in my opinion, right for First Amendment. This is separation of church and state. Time for the state to keep their cotton picking nose out of the church. They'll be selling popsicles where the booger man lives before they get our records. Now, theirs are out online like ours are. They don't have to subpoena them. It's public record. Did you catch that? It's public record. All right. here we go. It is time for boldness. It is time now for boldness, like it was in the time where Peter and John were preaching in Acts chapter 4. Now, let me go on record by saying this. I'm not worried about what the Sodomites are going to do to me. Just so you know. Well, what if that happens at Grace Baptist Church? So be it. If your preacher gets thrown in jail for preaching righteousness, so be it. I happen to know another Baptist preacher named the Apostle Paul that was thrown in jail, Barnabas and others. Now, I'm not looking to, I'm like Brother Hiles, I'm not looking for Fox's Book of Martyrs. I'd rather take Guinness Book of World Record. But if it takes Fox's Book of Martyrs, so be it. I'll preach the truth and they're not going to shut me up. There's a reason I use the word that I use for those people. It is a scriptural word. It is a biblical word. And it's the only word that is a legal term that should be used. I'm not going to call them what they want to be called. I'm going to call them what God called them. And he called them Sodomites. Everybody doing okay? Peter and John boldly respond to these threats. By the way, they did not stop serving God because the politicians started putting pressure on the Christians. They were bold. Matter of fact, they increased their preaching and they increased their soul winning. Can I tell you the best way to fight the devil? Go out and win somebody to Christ and bring them to church. The best way to shut up these politicians is to go out and start winning everybody you can to Christ. Get them under the preaching of the Word of God. Get their life and their eternity changed around. And we'll vote out some of these reprobates that have been voted in. I admire Peter and John. I admire their boldness. I'm going to admit something to you. I'm not always bold like I want to be. Boldness does not come naturally to me. I know that shocks you. But I am not a bold person by nature. I'm not a person that just is a bulldog and not afraid to attack anything. I got to convince myself to get bold. You've heard me say this. When I go out soul winning, I knock on a door. First thing I think is, man, I hope they're not home. Say why? Because I'm not bold like I should be. I'm not afraid to say it. I am probably the most unlikely person to ever have answered the call to preach. I was afraid of my own shadow. I failed oral book reports in school because I wouldn't get up in front of a class full of students and give an oral book report. My mom's back there shaking her head. She knows. It wasn't that I didn't know the material. I was afraid to get up and talk. My life's verses as a teenager was Jeremiah 1:6. I'll put my words in thy mouth because that was the only way I was going to open my mouth. When God called me to preach, I fought it because I kept saying, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. He said, good, that's what I'm looking for. I don't need somebody who can do it. I need somebody who can't show my power. Whew, but that's not fair. Now, well, listen to me very carefully here. It's very easy for me to sit back and not create waves. It really is. My wife will tell you, I'm not an aggressive person in personality at all. Good night. It took me knocking her down in the hallway and her showing back up two more days after that at the same time, same place before I'd even ask her out for a date. Say why? I was afraid of her. She was only 5 foot tall and she was a whole lot littler than me, but let me tell you this, she scared me to death. Now I get to scare her to death. But I'm not a bold person. There are certain things I'm bold about, and you'll see that in a little while here, but it's very easy for me to sit back and not want to create conflict. I don't like conflict. I don't like being the one to create conflict. But may I say this? I need boldness. May I say this Christians at Grace Baptist Church need to learn how to be bold. You need to learn what to be bold for as well as how to be bold. And tonight I want to share with you for about the next 26 minutes what boldness is all about. Number one, boldness is not needed if there's no fear. Did you catch that? If you're not afraid, it doesn't take boldness. If you have no fear, you're not bold. You're brash. You're arrogant. I did not make the statements I made a little while ago about the Sodomites without fear, just so you know. I realize I'm under the gun. I realize I'm under scrutiny. I realize, listen to me, there are Sodomites who will listen to every Baptist preacher they can to find somebody that they call is a hate monger so that they can go after them. They're not going after you. They're coming my direction. I don't make it without a little bit of fear. But may I say this, I'm not changing it for anybody. I haven't changed one thing I say or believe. I just do it a bit more cautiously. It does take a little bit of courage because there is a little bit of fear. Now, I'm not worried they're going to hit me with their purse. But I'm not interested in being splashed all over the news either. Boldness, by the way, is not rudeness. Did you catch that? Being bold is not being rude. Boldness is a stand for right without changing what you stand for. We need some politicians to be bold for right, not worried about what they believe. We need to quit worrying about what this group of people and this group of voters says and do what's right. Doesn't matter what anybody says. Brother Isles used to say, I don't care if a hair lips every dog in town, we're going to do this. I'm for that. I don't care how many of my friends get upset with me. King James Bible is the Word of God, plain simple, that's it. It's inspired, it is preserved, and it is infallible. It doesn't just contain the Word of God, it is the only words of God. It's not only inspired in its originals, it is inspired still because it's ever living. And to deny that is to deny the deity of Jesus Christ as well, and they are wrong. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Pensacola Christian College's stand on the Word of God is not right. And if you're in accordance with it, you're not right. They mask it. They call people like me double inspiration. At least they got it right. Twice as much as they got, that's for sure. I don't believe that it was only inspired in the originals. I believe it's still inspired. Okay? And they're wrong, just so you know. By the way, I've had friends of a lifetime separate from me over that. It grieves me, but I'll still stand for right. Boldness does not let consequences keep it from doing right or keep it from standing for right. Guess what? We're going soul winning. You're going to knock on somebody's door someday that doesn't like our church. My poor secretary knocked on somebody's door yesterday. It's the first person she's ever had that was really upset with her over soul winning. Don't you see that sign? It says no soliciting. She said, we're not. Yes, you are. You knocked on my door. I think those people are hilarious. I have had multiple police officers in this area say, we may have to respond, Reverend, but it's okay. It's okay. He said, just be as nice as you can. Now do me a favor. Don't force those people. Don't get in a fight with them. Let them have a bad attitude and walk away. Well, what if they call the police? You're okay. 1-800-BROTHER-BUSH. That's Mel Bush, not me. It fits. M-E-L Bush. Amen. But Folks, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. When you're soul winning, you don't have to be afraid. Now, number one, boldness is not needed if there's no fear. Number two, boldness is planned courage. Boldness means you plan your courage. Do you know I planned what I would say tonight because I didn't want to wimp out and not say it? I know how to carefully word what I need to word, and I plan my courage. Let me show you what I mean. Brother Smith, come on up here. He and I have gone soul winning together. And I plan, you can stay right there for a second. I plan the first 5 to 8 seconds of every door I knock on. It's the only thing probably that I say identically at every door. Say why? That's my courage. I don't think about it. I can do it just, I can wake up in my sleep doing it. But if Brother Smith and I were out soul winning and I knock on the door opens up, I say, hello, ma'am. Well, hello, sir. My name's Pastor Bush. I pastor at Grace Baptist Church here in Martinsburg. We're going through the area. Do y'all get to go to church anywhere regular? That's exactly what I say every time I go soul winning. Can I tell you why? From then, once I'm comfortable with that, I can take care of the rest of the conversation because the Holy Ghost can kick in after that. It's got to be me that's willing to get that, my name is, and we go from there. That's just about word for word. You've heard me say it every door, isn't it, Brother Smith? Amen. Thank you. Can I tell you something? I plan what I'm going to say. That boldness comes because I have planned it. I know exactly what I'm going to say. I tell them who I am, where I'm from, why I'm there, and I always have a gospel tract in my hand. Hang on. Ooh, they all fell out of my Bible, and I'm in trouble. I don't have a gospel tract. Got track on you. Good thing Carl Hatch isn't here. I'm in trouble. It's not your suit. Not my Bible. I always have a tract in my hand that also has the church name on the front that I put in their face. I cannot believe I don't have one. You got one? Why'd you take my track? I have that thing, and I'll as I'm telling them, I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church, Martinsburg, West Virginia. And I got my finger right there, and I push it in their face. You say, why? That gives me credibility. That's my business card. That's my calling card. That's your calling card from where you're at. It shows you have legitimacy. Say, what is it? That's my boldness. Brother Stoltz brought those visitors here this morning. And I said, yeah, I'm the ugly guy that was on that piece of paper they left at your house yesterday. And one little girl, oh, that's funny. I said, no, it's not. I said, you're real shy, aren't you? Well, wait a minute. I have that planned. Let me show you what I mean. Have you ever heard of something called the plan of salvation? Can I teach you how to be a good soul winner? Learn the plan of salvation. It will give you boldness. When you know it and you don't have to worry about it, and you've got that little map in your Bible, if you don't know it well enough yet, eventually soul winning becomes like breathing. You know, you don't think about breathing till you can't breathe. Did you ever get the wind knocked out of you? Man. I've had that happen a few times. That is not fun. You've been playing football. All of a sudden you get hit or you land on the football and some 400-pound tackle lands on top of you and that ball goes like that and you're going. And the funniest thing is, did you ever see a kid who gets the wind knocked out? They jump up and start running. They have no air, but they jump up and start running. A professional athlete knows enough to lay on the floor and go, can't breathe, you know. Eventually it comes back, but it's a long time, it feels like. A plan of salvation. You learn that plan to where it becomes like breathing to you. I don't even think about it. It's like reaction to me. You know, like when the doctor takes that rubber mallet and punches you in the knee to make sure you're still alive. You say, what do you do? I kick him right in the teeth. Somebody hit you in the leg with a hammer, why don't you kick them? Amen? Now, wait a minute. I planned that boldness. Do you know there are times, listen to this statement, I know sometimes I have a difficult appointment coming, so I plan it. This week, I had a difficult phone call that I was going to make. I won't tell you to who or to what, but it was to some business folks. Do you know that I spent 15 minutes and I wrote out an outline for a phone call? Then, because my secretary was involved with a certain part of that situation, I shared my outline with her and said, is this too rough? Is this thorough? I was planning my boldness. I literally had 3/4 of a sheet of paper with everything outlined, exactly how I was going to say it, point by point, in order, just like I would do a sermon. Say why? Because I needed to be strong. I didn't want to forget anything. I didn't want to be too strong, and I didn't want to be too weak. And I planned it out, did I not? Matter of fact, I still have the piece of paper. I could prove it. I'm not going to, but I could. Say why? I had to plan my boldness. I used to plan punishing my children. It's not premeditated murder. They thought it was, but it was not. By the way, I planned exactly how I would deal with this situation with the sodomites in Houston. I planned how I presented it to you. I have in my notes planned exactly what I would say. Say why? By the way, before you criticize me, how many of them have you won to Christ? I've won several. My wife knows exactly who I'm talking about. I won a man in Indiana. Won him to Christ. Standing in the parking lot of the church, a couple of our men in our Sunday school class got him cornered and said, hey, Brother Bush, this guy thinks he's too bad of a person to get saved. They didn't know what they were dealing with. They said, come over here. My soul winning partner says, man, you don't get saved, you're going to fry in hell like a sausage. I couldn't believe he said it. I end up winning the guy to Christ. He ended up coming to church. He walked the aisle. He got baptized. I got him a Bible. I told him before he goes into these houses of perversion and gets involved with these people again, I said, you sit down outside those places with your Bible and read 5 chapters of your Bible before you go in there. I was getting reports all over town of this guy sitting out in front of these wicked places reading his Bible. He ended up not going in. You know, before I left Indiana, he had 13 people down the aisle in the water. Now, before you criticize me, I don't hate the people. I hate the sin of sodomy. I don't hate the drunkard. I hate the sin of drunkenness. I don't hate you, but I'll hate all sin. I hate my sin. But I love me. Wait a minute. Folks, plan your boldness. Some of you would do well if you took that one little bit of child rearing. Some of you mommies need to put your emotion aside and plan how you punish your children. That cute little look isn't cute. Doesn't matter. They did wrong. They still need punished. I don't care how cute they look afterwards. Mommy, too late. I've already planned what we're going to do. I might laugh about it later because it was cute, but not while they need punished. I might go to a different room and laugh it out and them not know it. Put my head in the pillow and go, ha, 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 ha. As principal in a school, I used to have to punish kids. There were times I'd say, you wait outside my door for just a second. They'd walk out and I was busting a gut. They didn't know it. I was in there laughing because I thought it was funny. I had to put my principal face back on. You know, okay, here we go. It's great. Number one, boldness is not needed if you have no fear. Number two, boldness is planned courage. Number three, I yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him speak through me. Did you know the Holy Spirit is God and God's not afraid of man? Do you know that if I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is God, God's not afraid of man, and if I'm speaking in the Holy Spirit, I don't have anything to worry about. I'm just His mouthpiece. I'm just His voice. And the Holy Spirit is not at a loss for words in any situation. Do you know there are times as a preacher I fail? Do you know that there are hopeless situations that I walk into? I know I cannot help them personally, but the Holy Spirit can do it through me. You take the phone call of the person that I took last night when they said, "Preacher, they got cancer. Probably won't live but 3 or 4 months." What can you say as a human being to help? Nothing. Say, "What were you doing?" The whole time they were talking, I said, "Oh God, Holy Spirit, please help me inside my head. Give me, speak through me." Guess what? The Holy Spirit did. It weren't my words. Say, "What did you want to do?" I wanted to sit down and cry. I couldn't then. Wait till you have to sit there and tell a 21-year-old young lady that her husband was just killed in a car wreck. She walked into the hospital a wife and she walks out a widow at 21 years old. Wait till you sit in a house with a young lady who's in her late 20s that has probably 3 or 4 children. And her husband's just died of leukemia. Young pastor. The man's little boy's crawling all over you and said, "My daddy's real bad sick and he's not coming home anymore. He's in heaven. Brother Bush, would you play with me and be my daddy today?" And watch his mother get up and walk out of the room in tears. And I picked him up and said, "Buddy, I can't be your daddy, but I can play with you. Nobody's going to replace your daddy, but I will play with you." You try that one. Human words don't help there, just so you know. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is truth and works through truth. So as long as I don't have a bad attitude and I speak the truth and I use the word of God, I got a chance of helping somebody boldly. A great man once told me, "Act, don't react." You know, I don't react to people. I act. That means it's a planned action. I ask Him to help me moment by moment. Just because I had the Holy Spirit this morning does not mean I have Him again tonight unless I've yielded to Him tonight. By the way, give Him the credit for what happened. You'll be surprised what happens next time. Number 4, I'll hurry. This is the last point. This is probably the most important part. And I want every young person to listen to me very carefully here. Boldness is realizing that it's not about you. It's about the truth. Boldness is realizing it's not about you. It's about truth. Now listen to this statement. I refuse to get bold about myself. I plan to get bold about that. I don't defend myself. I don't say, "Well, did you see what I got done, though?" No, that's boldness for myself. Matter of fact, I call that arrogance. Do you know, I tried, I can't tell you that I did it perfectly. But when I worked in the secular world and even in the ministry, I tried never with my bosses to say, "Look what I did. So-and-so didn't get this done, but look what I did." No. God's keeping score. I don't need to defend me. You know, I want you to notice in Acts chapter 4 there, that with all boldness, verse 29, the end, they may speak thy word. Verse 31. filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The disciples weren't told to be bold for themselves. They were told to be bold about the word of God and the work of God. I am extremely bold behind this microphone because I am preaching the never dying, eternal word of God. I'll stand for truth. I'll fight for truth. But I'm not going to fight for me. I'm not. I'm a pretty easy guy to get along with, believe it or not. Do you know that there are people that don't believe like me that I get along with? Do you know that even my enemies I can get along with? Can I tell you why? Because the issue is not me. The issue is truth. Did you catch that? You see, I am bold for Christ. I am bold for the work of God. I am bold for Grace Baptist Church. Do you know, when I go soul winning, I'm not ashamed of saying where I go to church. I don't say, well, we're from the church. Forget you. I had a staff person in Indiana. Won't tell you who it was. It was not a church staff person, but a staff person paid by Brother Isles. They said, well, when we go soul winning around here, we just tell them we're from the church. We don't tell them which one, because we're afraid the reputation isn't so good, so we'll keep the door open longer. I said, you're a deceiver. I said, my next staff meeting, I'm telling Brother Hiles what some of his staff is doing unless you turn yourself in. You've got till this day to turn yourself in. And I said, I'm going to check up on it. They didn't. I did. Man, you should have been in the staff meeting in that part of the ministry. Brother Hiles was cleaning house. He said, I don't care if you have to duck or pucker. It don't matter. You tell them where you're from. Or I'm not paying your salary. Man, that's where he started. It got rougher from there. Say why? I'm not ashamed of Grace Baptist Church. Man, I lift my head with boldness. Everybody doing okay? By the way, I'll be bold against those that oppose God. I have no problem being bold against this idiot mayor in Houston, this sodomite that wants to subpoena pastors for their sermons. Say why? That's against the word of God. That's some politician with more power than she needs. She needs to go home and bake cookies for a kid somewhere. Oh, I guess sodomites can't have them, huh? A wicked generation of genetics nowadays, they are, just so you know. It is legal for sodomite couples to have children. By the way, I'll stand for you. I'll fight for you. I was somewhere and somebody said, man, your people, they're out everywhere. When are you going to calm them down? I said, I'm not. We're going to jack it up a little bit more. You don't like it? Lump it. I had a pastor this week. It was at the bank. And he said, hey, he said, your people were knocking over where some of my folks live. I said, good. He said, but that's a good ways away from your church. I said, knocked on all the doors twice in Martinsburg. We're reaching out. I said, in 24 months, we've passed out over 50,000 tracts. I said, that's just about all of Berkeley County. I said, and part of Jefferson County. I said, guess what? We're not stopping. He walked over and put his arm around me. He said, brother. He said, I didn't mean that as a criticism. He said, I just wanted you to know, it's motivated me to get all my people to get off their duff and do something. I said, good. He wasn't mad. I just didn't give him time. And I like the guy. Nah, he's not going to preach here. I probably won't preach for him. But I think he's a good guy. I'm not against him. Boy, that's a good statement. Can I tell you something? The lost world doesn't want Christians who look like them, who act like them, and who live like them. You You tell me what young man in the world wants to grow up and be like the Pope? What young man wants to grow up and put a dress on with a half a grapefruit on his head and ride around in a Pope mobile? Oh, by the way, did you hear he's going to lead in one of the Sodomite pride parades? God help us. He's not the Pope, he's a dope. There you go, that planned boldness, yep. Can I tell you something? The world does not respect churches that have rock music. They go there to listen to the music, not the message. Why does the world want somebody that just changes the world and looks and acts just like them? I'm not going to get tattoos and get in a fight with a pop rivet gun and get stapled all over the place. Spike what little hair I have left up on end. Yeah, drive a motorcycle and play rock music and say, hey, y'all, we're going to draw a crowd. Was Brother Ron? I forget. It may have been Brother Ron. He was in here painting one day. A fella came in. He said, man. He said, you know, you get some of these new groups in here playing this music that the kids can jump up and down and dance to. You could feel this place. That's exactly what he told me. He pushed the wrong button. I said, Doc, I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, temperamental, King James only Bible preaching machine. I said, I don't believe in that wickedness. We're not going to look like the world, act like the world, or jump around like a bunch of fish out of water. I said, if they're not coming for the preaching, coming because of soul winning, coming for God to do something, I'm not going to attract them with the devil's bait. He said, oh, you're one of those kind, huh? Eyes got real big. I said, yes, I am. He told me what pastor he got saved under. I said, neither was he when he was right. I said, by the way, that's why he left that mess you're in. He said, you know, pastor? I said, I do. I said, has he changed? He said, nope, but that's why he's not allowed back. I said, yep, my kind of guy. And by the way, we're not changing. We're not going to have crossover music. Sandy Patty and Amy Grunt and all the rest of that gang. What's crossover music? That's half devil and half God. How do you, you know, that's like a transvestite. They don't know if it's man or woman. Lord have mercy. I'm not saying what I'm thinking because it wasn't planned and it wouldn't be bold. Nor wise. You know, the lost need to see Christ in you, not you. And please don't take this the wrong way. When I knock on a door, that person on the other side who's lost and on their way to hell, they don't need to see me. They need to see him. That's why you need to clean yourself up a little bit. That's why you need to look like, smell like, act like, dress like Christian. My wife and I went back to Minnesota years ago for a funeral. We got out of the car. We had been driving forever because they're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we had spent 18 hours in a car or something like this. Got out. I had worked all night or all afternoon. Got off at midnight. Got back at 1 o'clock. We left at 2:30 in the morning. Drove all the way to Northern Minnesota. I hadn't slept in 2.5 days. Drove through a stupid snowstorm to get there, and it was July. Drove through a snowstorm to get there. Got out of the car, and some distant relative, my wife and I were getting out of the car. My eyes looked like a train hit me, and he said, "You a Baptist?" I'd never met the man in my life. I said, "Yeah. How'd you know?" He said, "You smell like one." Well, I've been told I looked like one. Been told many times I sounded like one. I've been told once I smelled like one. I didn't ask him what a Baptist smells like because I knew I had been up for two days. Lord have mercy. I guess it was a compliment. He said, "You're one of them old-fashioned kind, aren't you?" I said, "Thank you, I am. I still don't know who the guy is." Oh, by the way, I got to lead a bunch of folks to the Lord while I was up there. One of my wife's nephews got saved. Whew. It was worth the drive. You see, they need to, by the way, when you're out soul winning, there is nothing worse than trying to get somebody saved and you get them all the way through the gospel and they say, "Nope, not going to do that." Oh, if you're a compassionate soul winner, that just tears you up. You feel like a total failure. What could I have done more? Nothing. You give them the gospel. It's up to them to get saved. By the way, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Christ. Yes, it ought to break your heart. And yes, you ought to learn everything you can to try to keep that from happening. But guess what? You can't make somebody get saved. You can make somebody say a prayer, but you can't make somebody get saved. And by the way, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting truth. Boldness. Boldness is not needed if there's no fear. Boldness is planned courage. Boldness is you yielding to the Holy Spirit and letting Him speak through you. And boldness is realizing it's not about you. It's about the Word of God, about the church, about the work of God. It's about truth. You don't have to be bold for you. Anybody here that knows me, I don't go around talking about me. Nope. It's not about me, it's about Him. It's about you. By the way, I'll fight for you. Somebody wanted to start criticizing somebody here that's here tonight. I said, "Do me a favor, shut up." I said, "Don't you open your trap that way." I said, "You open your mouth wide, I'm going to feel it." I said, "You're not going to talk about my folks that way." I was talking to a pastor. All he wanted to do is complain about his people. I said, "Sir, I said, I love you. You're my friend. Do me a favor. Shut up and quit gossiping about your church people to me. Get on your knees and get right with God." I said, your church members' problem is yours because all you do is criticize them. I said, "Call me back." You know, it took about a week. Called me back and said, "Brother Bush, I got mad at you." I said, "Good." I said, "What'd you do about it?" He said, "Stewed about it for about 3 days, and the Holy Spirit convicted me." He said, "I got up and preached and apologized to my church on Sunday." He said, "You're right. I was wrong." I said, "Good for you, man. Let's talk." You know, that man's never shared another negative with me. I love the guy. I think he just had a bad spot in his life, but he needs somebody to step up and say, "I'm not listening." Part of the trouble was he was the negative one, not his people. By the way, I don't tell people you're negative, just so you know. I don't even tell my wife. Some of you talk to her like she knows what's going on. She says, "Something happening with so-and-so?" I said, "Why?" They talk to me like I knew what wrong was going on. I don't know nothing. By the way, she's not the person I dump on, just so you know. She's got a great outlook about all of you. She thinks you're the greatest people in all the world because you are, and she doesn't know what your dirty laundry is because I don't take it home. Everybody doing all right? If you tell me something in the office, she doesn't find out about it. If there's something negative going to take place, she finds out when you do, just so you know. Say, "Why?" I'm not going to discourage the encourager. She might know I've had a tough day, but she doesn't know who or what. Everybody doing all right? And by the way, I don't tell her the who or the what. Boy, that's good stuff. So I'm not real bold. I'm afraid to come pray at the men's prayer breakfast. Why don't you get some boldness and just show up? It'll be okay. You don't have to be afraid. Good night. He said, "Well, I'm not a professional prayer." Neither am I. You say, "What's a professional prayer?" That's a Pharisee. Don't worry about it. We don't have any of those. We just got good men that want to get a hold of God and let Him hear what we have to say. Try to beg Him for help. Boy, that's a good way to live. Boldness. By the way, I lack it too. Can I tell you when I lack it most? When I don't have God's power on my life. Say, "Boy, sometimes you get pretty bold in the pulpit." Yeah, about truth and right. Behind the scenes, I'm a pushover. Just ask my daughter. That's why she got her puppy. My wife's tried for 25 years to get a cat, and it ain't happening. I have some areas I am bold in, amen? But we got the puppy, and she is the cutest little thing in the world. Okay, no problem, except for my daughter. She gets mad when I say that. Can I tell you something? It's okay. It's okay. You say, well, sometimes I get afraid, Brother Bush. You don't have to be afraid about truth. You don't have to be afraid for Christ. You don't have to be afraid out soul winning. Gather that boldness. Know what you're going to say. Plan it. Do it in the power of God. And guess what? It'll all come out okay. What if I face trouble for it? It's okay. It'll come out all right. I promise you. By the way, they killed Jesus for doing it. What's the worst thing that happens? You go to heaven. That's a real bad deal, huh? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Some of you just need to get a little bit of boldness for you for the Lord. I need a little more boldness for the Lord.